The good news is not simply that God is love. Other times we may hear the gospel simply represented as the message that God is love. Now, this one is sort of like the Oklahoma newspaper headline that read, "Cold weather causes temperatures to drop." It's not that it's not true, it's just that it's so obvious that something is missing or left out. That God is love is certainly true. It's even in the Bible. God is love, 1 John 4:8. But there is a danger in simply saying so as if it is self-evident. Maybe we get a little sense of what this love is when, as parents, we tell our children that for some good reason about which we are aware, they can't do something they want to do. And what's an oft-heard response? "If you really loved me, you'd let me." Now, that's just plain wrong. But it's a falsehood that can be as subtle as it is significant. Love doesn't always let. Indeed, sometimes love prevents, and sometimes love punishes. If we say that God is love, what are we thinking that His love must look like? And furthermore, is love all that the Bible says that God is? Doesn't the Bible say that God is a spirit? How does a spirit love? Doesn't the Bible say that God is holy? How does a holy spirit love? Doesn't the Bible say that God is unique, that there is none other like Him? How does the only perfect holy spirit in the universe love? How can you know if He doesn't tell you? Can you surmise it? Figure it out? Assume it from your own experience? Chart out how it would be from your own heart? John Calvin said, "It is plain that no man can arrive at the true knowledge of himself without having first contemplated the divine character and then descended to the consideration of his own. For such is the native pride of us all, we invariably esteem ourselves righteous, innocent, wise, and holy, till we are convinced by clear proofs of our unrighteousness, turpitude, folly, and impurity. But we are never thus convinced while we confine our attention to ourselves and regard not the Lord, who is the only standard by which this judgment ought to be formed." Among other important things to note is this: God reveals Himself as the God who requires holiness of all who would be in a loving relationship with Him. As the Bible says, without holiness, no one will see the Lord. It is only in the context of understanding something of God's character, of His righteousness and perfection, that we begin to understand the tremendous nature of saying that God truly is love. And His love has a depth, texture, fullness, and beauty to it that we, in our present state, can only begin to wonder at. The good news is not simply that Jesus wants to be our friend. Other times, the gospel message is represented to us rather simply as Jesus wants to be our friend, or, as a variation of that, Jesus wants to be our example. But the Christian gospel is not a matter of mere self-help, or even of a great example, or a relationship to be cultivated. There is a real past to be dealt with. Real sins have been committed. Real guilt has been incurred. And so what is to be done? What will our holy God do? Even if He, in His love, wants a people for His own, how will He have them without sacrificing His own holiness? Did He simply come in the flesh to teach us that our sins are no big deal? That He's just going to forgive and forget? What would that do to the morality of God? What would that do to the character?